My name is Lindsay Doyle. I'm here with Pat Sane, the owner of Blue Plate Books in Winchester, Virginia.
Hello.
Pat, how long have you worked at Blue Plate Books, and had you previously worked in any other bookshops?
I have been to a zillion bookshops. The only other one that I've worked at was 2 years at Borders, which I'll tell you a little bit about in a minute. I opened Blue Plate Books in September of 2008, so right at the height of all that economic mess that happened. And it had been, it's a second career, and it had been a dream of mine for a long time to open a used bookstore. So I finally got a chance to do it. Unfortunately, the economics didn't work out at the time, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. When I worked at Border, well, I can tell that story later.
Okay. What drew you to want to open a bookshop?
Some of the best time I've had, including travel time, has been roaming around and looking for books in used bookstores. I was a book collector as a hobby in my previous life, and so I really enjoyed the peace that I got at roaming around used bookstores.
Okay. And what role has this bookshop played in your life?
I think it's helped me understand myself more. I've done a lot of things with books. I've collected books, I've written books, I've shopped for books, I've bought books both for myself and for the store. But being the owner of a small business helps you understand the world in a completely different way.
Okay. And what role do you think you've played in the development and growth of this bookstore?
Well, the bookstore started as a small, probably 15,000 books in about 1,200 square feet. And now we have 50,000 books in 3,500 square feet. So what I've been able to do is guide the store in growing in an intelligent way so that we could be the best resource for the Winchester area we could.
Great. How have you seen the bookstore change over the course of your employment here?
I think when I first started the bookstore, I had a certain idea of what kind of book I could sell, but that was colored by what type of book that I liked. Mm-hmm. And so I think that as time has gone on, I've seen the variety of books and the variety of possibilities increase as I've been in business longer. If you open a bookstore and only stock it with books that you're going to buy, you're going to be the best customer. It's really important to draw other customers in.
Let's see. How was the bookshop affected by the growth of commercial bookstores across the nation?
Well, interestingly, as a used bookstore, some people don't understand this, but used bookstores love new bookstores. And the reason they love new bookstores is because then people will buy the newer books at the new bookstore, bring them to the used bookstore, receive some compensation, and then the used bookstore can put that book back into play again so that it's not a one-use object, but it's recycled and reused, which is something we need to do with a lot of stuff, let alone books. Books are a pretty easy thing because the words don't, in general, wear out. We check each of our books to make sure they have all the words in before we sell them. That was a joke, I'm sorry. Just because it's one of those... So, I'm trying to remember the...
With the growth of commercial bookstores.
Growth of commercial bookstores. So, the internet has changed book buying habits to an extent, but they haven't changed a basic characteristic of book buyers. And the thing with the internet is, and I actually see this with younger customers also, when I grew up learning to research things, you would find a book on the shelf and then take two or three from either side, see if they were related, if they had anything interesting in them about the same subject because they were near that. But nowadays, people, because of the computer, they look at a book and say, here's my answer. I want this one book. It's a laser-like focus. Do you have this one book? If not, I will go to the one place that I can find this one book. And so it's like seeking a pebble in the beach as opposed to walking along the beach and finding what pebbles look good. Mm-hmm. And that's actually the behavior that bookstores, that people still have, that books that make bookstores important. As a matter of fact, just yesterday, Amazon opened a bricks and mortar bookstore in Seattle, which would be a change from 15 or 20 years ago when everybody said, gee whiz, people could only buy on the internet. But the thing is, people like to go to a bookstore not always to find what they're looking for, but also to discover something that they don't know they want yet.
Exactly.
And that kind of behavior is why you'll always have the local market, you'll always have local clothes stores and bookstores and other things, because people don't always know ahead of time, and if they do, they can be surprised by something else.
Definitely. That was actually my next question was, how do you think the bookshop and the industry in general has been affected with the growth of technology? Do you think there's any other ways, besides, like you said, people kind of pinpoint what they want?
Well, choosing books is one way the technology has changed, but another way the technology of words has changed is that they're available electronically.
Right.
So you can pick up a Kindle or an iPad and read a book on that. And there's pluses and minuses to that, and there's different scenarios that people don't think about. One is, movies did not kill radio, and TV didn't kill the movies. And we got internet, and people still watch TV, they still listen to the radio,
mm-hmm.
and they still go to movies. So in the same way, in the 70s, they advertised books on cassette. Why would you ever read a book again when somebody could read the book to you? You just pop this in your little cassette player, you can do whatever you want, and it would... Well, really, books on tape or books on CD as we know them now, or even books via the internet, downloadable audiobooks, they're just 5 to 10% of the market because only so many people want them that way. In the same way, paperbacks and hardbacks have always had a 1/3, 2/3 of printed books. Now, digital books have taken away about 20% of that. But there's still plenty of people who find it easier, more convenient, and more enjoyable to read a printed book. And a lot of people know that it's cheaper to buy a used paperback for $4 than download a Kindle version for $9.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're doing the same thing they always did. So it, while technology does change some things, it's important to not to think that the whole world has been changed, but just the people who have been impacted by that technology.
Right.
In the same way, there's plenty of people in India who use oxen carts. Do they have automobiles in India? There's a couple of them, but not everybody gets to use them. And in the same way, not everybody uses e-books or the internet to buy books here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It almost seems that the thriving of commercial bookstores was short-lived considering the rapid growth of technology. Did you see a difference after borders closed nationally, and how so? And if you want to take this time to elaborate on working at borders, you can do that too.
Okay. So I, let's see, I'll do that second. I think that the borders story, people think about the ending of borders as a big technological coup for Amazon. But really, if you ask business people, it was an issue with rent. Borders rented the most expensive and largest areas they could, grand big stores, because everybody was going to read and everybody was going to come buy books at Borders.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the real fact of the matter is, in the same way that our media is segmented, our population is segmented, and not everybody reads, and only X percentage of the people enjoy reading a book. And while that may go up and down a few percent over the decades, 100% of the people will not buy books. So if you try to make a bookstore like a grocery store, one on every corner,
right,
because everybody has to eat, you'll fail. And that's one of the ways that I think Borders failed. They tried to get too big, too fast. Books have been around in their present format for about 500 years. They're probably going to be here in 500 years. There'll be changes. We'll have fewer instruction manuals and fewer little things that are timely, that come and go, that we can distribute electronically. But basically, folding up some paper with some communication on it is a pretty easy thing to do. Easy to read, easy to write, convenient, doesn't take a lot of electricity. So those things are still going to be around. The question is, do we have to sell them on every single corner, or do we have some specialists who deal with it?
Right.
In the same, well, that's not really a good idea. So, so the story I was going to tell about Borders was actually about opening the store. And before I opened the store, this is a second career. What I used to do was I was an ophthalmic photographer. I photographed retinas for about 25 years. And that was a good career, and I did a lot of things. I taught around the world, and I wrote a few books, and I was up at Dartmouth for the last 10 years of that. And that was a good career, but I was looking for something else, and I wanted to open a used bookstore. So I went to the Colorado Antiquarian CABS, Colorado Antiquarian Book Seminar in Colorado Springs. It's a week-long seminar about antiquarian books. And they suggested, gee, before you open a bookstore, work in a bookstore. See if you like a bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Borders and got a job after quitting my job, moving here with my wife. And I worked 3 days a week in the inventory processing team, which actually meant I got up, was at work at 6 in the morning, and left at 3. So I went from wearing a white shirt and tie and jacket every day to coming in a t-shirt to work every morning at 6 a.m. So it was a really, really big change. And I found that I really did enjoy working there, helping people with books, putting books on shelves, seeing which books came on and off the shelves. But after about a year and a half of working there, Borders decided to give me a raise, and I knew I was going to start a used bookstore at some point, but I didn't know exactly when.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they decided to give me a raise of a nickel, I decided it was time to go out and start that used bookstore. So I put things in overdrive, found a location, all the money that I had been working or getting from working at Borders went towards buying books, so mm-hmm. now I took and cleaned those books, got them ready, decided on where to put them, bought some shelves, and started the bookstore. All because they gave me a nickel raise.
Well, I'm glad you're here now. Okay. How do you think this bookstore differs from others considering its used books?
This bookstore differs from others because, as opposed to taking any used book in the door and deciding to put it on the shelf and let the people select, what we do is we curate the books. We make sure they're in good condition. We clean each book before we put it on the shelf. And we kind of make sure that it's a reasonably good book. We specialize in having a good fiction section and with classics, as many classics as we can find. The kids almost always find their school reading here because, unlike Borders, and when I was working at Borders, I remember trying to help a customer, and they said, "Well, we need this book for school. We need The Old Man and the Sea by Hemingway." And I went over to the shelf, and we didn't have one. Why didn't we have one? Because it doesn't sell very often. When does it sell? You sell a bunch of them every single summer when all the kids read it. But because the computer says, gee whiz, we haven't sold one in 3 months, we can't put one on the shelf. But in a bookstore where you're really taking a look at what your community needs and what those are, we have them on the shelf whenever we can.
Great.
Are we doing okay with this?
Yeah, yeah.
It stays open?
Okay. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Okay. What role do you think this bookstore plays in the local community?
I think this, I try to help this bookstore be a good resource for the community, to find something good to read, to find out good information, and to be a place to come and relax out of the hustle and bustle. The music's mellow, the bookstore's quiet, and people sometimes come in here on their lunch hour, not so much to find a book, but to mellow out a little bit.
Definitely. Okay. What role do you think independently owned bookshops play in America?
I think independent bookshops in America play the same role as independent thinkers do in America. And that's one of the differences between American culture and many of the other cultures we see around the world. America really loves the individualist, and I think individual bookstores with their sometimes quirky selections, sometimes quirky management styles, allow individuals to express themselves and be part of the community.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. Okay, this is the last question. What do you think the future for independently owned bookshops looks like?
Kind of the same as it does now. I think there's been a tug of war between the big corporate entities and the little guy. In fact, I just read in the Washington Post this morning that between, I think it's Disney and one other corporation, they own 90% of the entertainment in the United States.
Wow.
It's a front page article. I can show it to you and we can quote the right thing. You know what I mean? Because I just read it at lunch, but I can't remember
right
that second. It might be Paramount. Anyway, I think independent bookstores allow a different voice to be heard than the mass market voice.
Mm-hmm.
And independent bookstores, by necessity, will never be as big as the big guys. As long as they're big enough to survive, that's all they need to worry about.
Right. Is there anything else you want to tell me?
No. Not that I can think of right now. I think I said some good things, so I'm okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. But I will get you that article.
Perfect.
Okay.
Can't wait.